Welcome to Al Berman, live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. It is episode 9, and it is it's a beautiful day here in Los Angeles, California. It rained last night, but now it's blue skies, a crispy 62 degrees, and I say crispy because it is crispy. Now I'm saying instead of Anda. Okay, I've got to watch this. It's been 2 weeks since I've been on the mic here. Again, it's a little bit of a, you know, just craziness going on. My mom was in the hospital, for those of you who don't know, and she's out of the hospital now, and she's doing fine, and she's got some conditions that are manageable, I am told. My sister is an executive in a hospital where she was staying, and so she knows everybody, and she's got the best care that the American Medical Association can provide in that area, and I'm very grateful for that. But it was very, you know, it's very, you know, traumatizing, you know, when your mommy needed care. I got basically what happened was I got a call at 5 a.m., you know, and I usually turn my ringer off on my landline, and I had it off, and I go to bed around 4 or 5 and get up around 12. That's my schedule. And don't judge me, okay? That's just what I'm doing these days. And so before I went to bed, I just kind of checked to see if there was, you know, any, just checking in, and there was a message, and my sister left a voicemail about 10 or 15 minutes before that saying, don't panic, mom's in an ambulance on her way to the hospital, we're going there right now, which is, are not the words you want to hear. First of all, and I mean, you don't want to hear that your mom's in a hospital, in an ambulance on her way to the hospital, number one, but it was kind of, you know, I know my sister was trying to keep me calm, and she said, don't panic, but it's not exactly like, okay, well, I'll just go get my beach towel and lay outside in the sun. Tell me how everything works out. But it turned out that, like I said, she's got some manageable conditions. She was in the hospital for about, I guess, 5-6 days. And my mom is tough, man. She's a tough old broad. I shouldn't say old. She's not that old. But she's a tough broad. Is it okay to say broad in this politically correct time? She's a tough lady, tough woman. She's a tough woman. How's that? My mother's a tough woman. She, you know, she's. I have the FaceTime with on the iPhone, so I can see her, and I can see the hospital room, and my dad, and my sister, and my niece, and everybody. And she, I would talk to her, and she'd have the oxygen in her nose, that oxygen thing, and she'd be like just her, you know, just herself, like, I want to get out of here. I don't need this. I'm just sick of this. I want to get out. I go, okay, Mom, they're gonna, you know, do the test, and then, you know, find out what you need. And that's what they were doing. They were doing tests to find out what she needed so they could come up with a plan. And they came up with a plan. And so, you know, obviously I want her to get well. But I'm really grateful for the fact that I'm so grateful I got this iPhone with this friggin', I'm saying friggin' again, I don't care, this friggin' FaceTime, because it really has been a great thing for me to be able to see. I could see everybody and in real time, you know, and I'm probably going to go there because I need some hip surgery, and I'm going to go there because apparently it's a leading hip hospital, and my sister knows everybody, and I'm skittish about hospitals, so I might as well have my sister, my only sibling, be my advocate, you know. But I'm waiting to see when I can go, or when I, yeah, that's that. But like I said, I'm really grateful for the iPhone. And I got to talk about this iPhone. I am totally in love with my iPhone. I have not loved an object this much. I'm not an object kind of guy. People who know me will, you know, will attest to this. I don't really have a lot of things, like a lot of, I don't go for a lot of stuff. I don't, you know, just give me a, you know, a t-shirt and shorts and sneakers. Forget the shorts. Give me a loincloth. I'm good. No, you know what I'm saying. I'm just not big on objects. You know, I have a fairly decent car. My studio apartment's not bad. I want to upgrade at some point. I think after the hip surgery, I'm going to look around and possibly get something better. But I have not loved an object this much since when I was a kid and got my guitars. You know, I play guitar. Well, I haven't played guitar in a while, but I'm an old rock and roller. At some point, I think I mentioned this before. I will tell some rock and roll stories from back in the day, but not today. But I love this iPhone. I mean, it's just, and I now understand why people stare at their phones. You know, because I find myself just staring at my phone lovingly, just trying to figure out what's my next move. Do I text somebody? Do I just maybe go to iTunes and see what's up? Maybe look at a YouTube video, you know, maybe talk to Siri, that female assistant that comes with the iPhone that tells you, she doesn't tell you. Well, she's actually starting to tell me what to do, which is pissing me off. And I actually haven't used her that much yet. I've said things. Siri, give me some good Mexican restaurants in North Hollywood, and she'll come back with, okay, here are 10 Mexican restaurants. I don't know how good they are. You're on your own for that. And then sometimes you'll ask her, like, hey, Siri, do you really care about me as a person? And she'll, I don't know what you're talking about. I do not know what you're talking about. Please. Actually, I'm making her sound more robotic than she is. She actually sounds more human than robotic. That's the fact. So I'm really loving it, as they say. As they say, as I say. Not they say. I'm saying it. What's going on with the building? Front gate still isn't fixed. It's a security building. That's it. As my old friend Bobby Pollock, comedian, he probably would have a joke, say, I'm living in an insecurity building. And the front gate is not fixed. They say it's going to be fixed as soon as the handyman shows up. The handyman. But things are going along smoothly here. The two Russian neighbors, Russian guys, they're both, I've talked about them in the past. There's the really old Russian guy that has two words in English, hello and hi. Hello, hi. And lately, when I run into him in the courtyard, and I'll say hi to him, and he'll look at me and he'll say, hi. And then he'll hold my gaze for longer than's comfortable, like as if he wants to eat me or something. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I would think if I was in his situation, like say I was in Russia, and the only thing I knew was the Russian equivalent to hi or hello, which I don't know what that is. Probably should find out at some point. But if I was in that situation and I saw another neighbor, you know, and I could only say one word, I would just say that word and then I would look away. I would look away out of respect, out of just not knowing, you know, there's nothing else to say. Well, you know, but this guy holds my gaze and it's very uncomfortable. I try to just, okay, move on, Mr. old Russian guy. Please move. Then there's the other Russian guy. He's a younger guy. Probably in his, I'm guessing 50s. His name is Falik. Talked about him before. And I'm just going to, he's a nice guy, but I'm just going to have to stop engaging him in conversations because although he speaks English, it's really, he doesn't really understand what I say. Whatever I say to him, it just somehow we're always, it just ends up like we're having two different conversations at once. There's no connection. Maybe it's because I talk so fast or talk too fast for him. But I mentioned that I just found out my grandfather, my father's side, came from a Russian town called Lodz, L-O-D-Z. So I said to him, hey, Falik. I still can't say that name without feeling self-conscious. Hey, Falik, my grandpa came from a city called Lodz. It's spelled L-O-D-Z. And he looked very puzzled. What? My grandpa came from a city called Lodz, L-O-D-Z. And he goes, I know a city called Brest. He actually said that. I know a city called Brest. Falik, Brest. You see the connection? I don't really. So I just said, okay, all right, let's just end this conversation, Mr. Falik. What else? I had my friend Rudy. Rudy is, I've talked about Rudy before. Rudy, a little bit, he's the husband of Deb. Deb does my hair. Rudy's a general contractor. And they both used, they've lived in this building for a long time, longer than I did. They were here before I came here. And then they got this, in the last 6 months or so, they got this really incredible, nice house not too far from here. And they moved, they escaped from this building. And I'm happy that they got to do that. And, you know, I spend holidays with them. They're kind of family. Rudy, I would say, you know, kind of like a cousin, his cousin Rudy. And like I said, he's a general contractor, and he sometimes comes over and does general contracting things. Like I had a situation with this shelf I needed him to help me with. And the reason I'm bringing this up is just to give you an idea that Rudy has taken small talk into a whole new level, whole new realm. He's taken it. It's like quantum talk. I mean, he just has brought it way down. You know, he came over and he did his, you know, what he had to do, and it didn't take all that long. And then, you know, we sat around, we're having a conversation. And so he starts asking me about, about if anybody has moved recently. And so I said, well, the only people that have moved are Lucy, who lived next door, and her daughter Marlena. They moved across the way to another apartment. I said, but other than that, nobody's moved. And then he starts to say, so he asks me, well, what about Tim? Is Tim still here? And I go, yeah, Tim's still here. And he thinks for a second. He goes, oh, well, what about David? David's still around? Oh, yeah. Yeah, David's still around. What about Rock and Roll John, Rocker John? Is he still, yeah, he's still here. Everybody's still here. Remember what I said? Nobody moved. Please, stop it. You're making me crazy. Nobody moved. You moved. Ask me if you're still here. Are you still here? No, you're not here anymore. Not. I mean, you're here now talking to me. Well, you're not here now, but you were here then. Anyway. Yeah, so that's okay. I mean, I do love Rudy. I mean, it's all that. This is all done with love. And there's been some incidences with the internet. My internet went down last week. And I called Wesley, and his internet was down. He was already on the phone at AT&T. I'm already on the phone. I go, oh, it must be some kind of, you know, some area thing. He said, well, I'm on the phone dealing with them. Maybe you should call so that they know what happened to you. And so I go, okay, I do, you know, and so I call and I, you know, I get the guy in India. I mean, it's not like there's, you know, one guy, there's always some guy in India. And his response is there's no outage in the area as far as he knows. And so he starts to take me through, you know, directing me what to do. Okay, good, what's your modem? And type in these numbers and click here and click that. And of course, nothing. It turns out that, you know, nothing's happening. I said, listen, nothing's happening. I'm clicking. I'm at a certain point. I can't go further. He goes, well, we have to, I'm not even going to try to do an Indian accent. I'm just going to talk in my regular accent. We're going to have to go to the advanced technical division. They'll call you. And I said, fine. That's fine. And, I get a call from this woman from the advanced technical division, and I don't know what it is with some people, but they just have no personality. I mean, she was more of a robot than Siri. I mean, I was like, okay. Well, first of all, both the Indian guy and her, they apologize, you know, when you say, well, I'm having trouble. Well, we're sorry, sir. We're really sorry you're having this trouble. And I know it's, you know, it's part of the whole corporate thing. But after a while, all these apologies, they're just fake. They don't care. I would prefer you say, yeah, I you know, it's, they just say it with too much emphasis for me. Maybe I'm just a grouchy guy, but it's just like, all right, stop with the apologies. And so the Indian guy had said, I'm sorry, and I was okay. And now I get her to say she's sorry, and I joke, well, you know, it is your fault, and I get nothing from her. Well, sir, and she's like a robot. Well, okay, sir, we have found out that there is an outage in your area. Oh, okay. Now they found out there's an outage in the area. Okay, cool. So we will be working on that, and your internet shall be up within the next 24 hours. And okay. I asked her, where are you calling from? San Francisco. Oh, that's a very lovely city. Yes, it is. There's a very big robot population here. We are very happy here as robots. She really, really was quite a robot. So I said, okay, you know, no, there might not be any internet for 24 hours. I call Wesley and say, hey, you know, they said there might not be internet for 24 hours. He immediately broke down crying, and I had to hold him metaphorically because we were both on the phone. And it's just amazing how dependent I've become on the internet. I can't even imagine what life was like before. And I was so spoiled. I'm such a baby. Just like, what's my, you know, I'm not going to be able to get on Facebook to see if anybody likes me, you know, or go to YouTube and look at some fakakta videos. I mean, or get an email from, you know, Barack Obama. Well, I'm getting emails from, I'm actually getting emails. Now this whole political thing is happening, you know, the big campaign for re-election. I'm getting emails from Joe Biden, from Barack Obama. I know it's not from them personally, but they kind of come off like they are. As a matter of fact, I got one that said, from Barack Obama. The subject was, hey, H-E-Y, like he knew me. Hey, Al. And I keep getting these emails where they're like, if I just donate like $3 or more, but just as little as $3, I will be entered into a contest to have dinner with Barack Obama. I just find this really strange. I mean, the guy who's running for the position of the leader of the free world is holding a contest for a dinner. I don't even know. I mean, how do you do that? Can anybody win? I mean, could a terrorist go? I guess probably not. I'm sure they do background checks. I hope they do. No, I'm sure they do. But, I mean, I'm sure it's not, and it's not going to be just you and Barack Obama having dinner, you know. It's going to be you and other people. But, I you know, do you get to talk about issues? Do you just say, Mr. President, can you pass the peas? It just seems weird. Oh, gosh. I'm spent here. I'm going crazy. I don't know if any of this is funny. I apologize. You know what? I'm not going to apologize if it isn't. This is part of doing the podcast is just, like I said, my whole purpose is to try to find ideas to mine for stand-up. It doesn't necessarily have to be hysterical. It'd be nice if it is. But if it's not, you know, what can I? It's free. What do you want? You know, you don't like it? Don't listen. Ooh, I didn't mean that. I want you to listen. And let's see, there's, I think, I got some more things I'd like to talk about. I got a call the other day from an old friend, somebody I grew up with. We were best friends in like the 7th and 8th grade, and then we kind of drifted apart in high school. And then we just reconnected through Facebook, and after decades of not being in touch. And he lives on the East Coast in New Jersey. And since I've just got my new iPhone and I was entering, you know, numbers in, I entered his number in, and I had to let him know that I had this number. So I called, or I texted, actually texted him, because I'm a texting fool. I texted him and said that, hey, this is my number. And I got a call immediately back. Hey, did you just call me? I go, yeah, I got this new phone and I wanted you to have the number. And he goes, do you have a car? Okay, with a question like that, right away, I know there's going to be some kind of manipulation of, do I have a car? What do you care if I have a car? What kind of a question is that? Do I have a car? So I go, yes. He goes, pick me up in an hour at LAX. I'm coming in from Arizona. Pick me up in an hour. And take me down to Huntington Beach, which is like, you know, basically an hour and a half, 2 hour trip from my house, just one way. And I said, I lied. I said I couldn't do it. I said I couldn't do it. I lied. I said I had to work. And the fact of the matter is, I didn't have to work. And I said to him, why didn't you tell me you were coming in? I mean, you're just last minute. You go, well, that's the way life works sometimes. Oh, that's the way life works sometimes. You could just call, you just call me up and boss me around and say, pick me up. How about I know it's last minute and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to get in touch with you. If you're not busy, you don't want to pick me up. I'm staying in Huntington Beach. You can come down. We can hang out. We can see each other. You know, if you would have framed it that way, it might have worked out a little. But, you know, I don't respond well to being bossed around. You know, pick me up in an hour. Pick me up in an hour. I'll tell you what. You could tell this story to the cab driver on the way to Huntington Beach, okay? And but the thing that I was upset about probably the most was that I lied. I was talking to my friend Bill about it, and he was saying he's got a friend that just says no to things. And I'm saying, you know, I'm going to start doing that. Instead of lying, making up some stupid excuse, I'm just going to say, yeah, I could have seen, if he said, you know, pick me up in an hour, I could have said no. And if he could have said why, I could have said, don't want to. Just don't want to. How's that? What's he going to say? How's he going to sell me into doing, you know, the wanting? Is he going to enter me into a contest with, have dinner with him and Barack Obama? So, I don't think he listens to this podcast, but I don't care if he does. Or if he calls me and then wants to talk about this, fine. But I think I'm probably, you know, we haven't really been that much in touch. So I'm going to kind of keep my distance for a while. And because like I said, I don't respond well to being bossed around. I'm not a good bossing around person, you know. Unless you're a woman and I can do it for about 1 to 2 hours. That's it. And let's see, I guess I was going to talk about one more thing, but I don't know. I'm feeling that I think I've done it. I've done the podcast. Hopefully it was enjoyable. If not, like I said, you know, I'm just working on this thing. It is a total work in progress at all times. So, God love everyone. If you believe in God, I want to thank, like I always say, I want to thank everybody who does listen to the podcast and those who will listen to it in the future. And even those who listen to it and decide not to listen anymore, I'm showing gratitude to you because science has proven that gratitude is a healthy thing. So until next time. This is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California, saying, oh, I'm having trouble with the flute now.